Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The Radio Hustle with Alexis Conran on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. When the con is on, you need a man who's on your side. From spam to scams, phishing to identity fraud. Get tipped off, not ripped off. The Radio Hustle with Alexis Conran, enemy of the con man on Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome back to the show with me, Alexis Conran. We're going to be talking scams and cons for the next couple of hours. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you today if you are one of those people that's looking to book tickets for any of the festivals and the concerts that are coming up in the summer period. After 2 o'clock, you'll want to listen in if you're going to be buying some tickets. Also, are you looking for tickets for the Euros, the football? Because we're going to be talking about ticket scams. There's a lot of them about, trust me. We're going to have some guests in and we're going to look into how to avoid getting conned when buying tickets. But first, we are going to start by talking about diamonds. So here on the Radio Hustle, you know, we're looking at all sorts of scams and cons, but there are some scams that have been around for so long that you cease to think that they're scams, really. They just become part of normality, part of your life. And recently I was reading a book. It's called Everything Is, well, I can't say the word, Everything Is BS. And it's written by Priceonomics. And they look into things that we take for granted in life, art, wine, diamonds was one of them, is the first chapter. And I was shocked to realize that the whole world of diamonds was something that was created and not too long ago, really. Stay tuned, listen in. We've got plenty of guests who are going to explain exactly what I'm on about. Remember, if you want to get in touch with the show, particularly if you're thinking of buying a diamond, we're going to have in the studio later on Lewis Malka, who's written a book about how to buy a diamond without getting ripped off. So stay tuned, or better yet, give us a call. Give us your questions. The number here is 08444991000. You can text us, text talk and your message to 87222. Or, of course, you can tweet us. You can tweet at the Radio Hustle, at Talk Radio, or you can tweet me direct at Alexis Conran. Of course, there's our email, theradiohustle@talkradio.co.uk. So get in touch if you're thinking of getting engaged and you know, it's become the norm now that you need to buy an engagement ring. But we will find out why that is a norm, because I can tell you that whole custom of buying an engagement ring is a pure invention. Okay, it's just an invention. You're being told to do it by advertising people. And that, to me, ladies and gentlemen, is a scam, I think. So we'll dig into that. But first, let's find out what we're dealing with. So joining me on the line, I've got Steve Nightingale from Nightingale Online. And hopefully he's going to be able to shed some light of what exactly we are talking about when it comes to diamond. Steve, thanks for joining me.
Hi there. Hi.
Hello. Now, I believe you're a gemologist, right?
Yes, that is very, very, very true.
So as a gemologist, could you shed some light into what exactly is a diamond?
Okay. A diamond is a crystalline form of carbon. It was formed in the Earth's crust many, many, many billions of years ago.
Okay.
And has enchanted people for probably around 300 years now.
Okay.
Because of its superb crystal qualities.
And what is it? It's not glass, obviously. It's carbon, I believe.
It's carbon. It's crystalline carbon, which was formed by intense heat and pressure in the Earth's crust.
Okay. And a diamond, am I right in thinking that we haven't been mining them for that long?
That's correct. Yeah. So I said around 300 years.
Around about 300 years, because before that, we've been mining gold and silver and all sorts of, you know, other precious metals. But diamonds would be a relatively new thing. Am I right?
I guess when you look at the history of the world and our time on this world, then yeah, it is a relatively new thing.
And how hard are they to mine? Are they difficult things to get out of the ground?
Well, this is where we have the conflict, isn't it? Because of the environmental issues surrounding diamond and the harm that it actually does to the environment. And, of course, then we have the humanitarian issues at the moment. I'm sure your listeners will have seen the film Blood Diamonds.
Absolutely. Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, I remember. Exactly. It was a good film, actually. Yeah. It was a very, very good film.
We are very aware that this beautiful product, this beautiful shiny stone, can unfortunately be involved in arming terrorist operations and fueling wars.
Now, is this because the value of it is used politically?
Correct.
But the Absolutely. Process of mining it, actually getting it out of the ground, is that a difficult process? Is it expensive?
Very much so. It is very, very difficult. And hence the environmental issues surrounding the mining of diamonds.
Right. And if you were to put diamonds alongside other precious stones, and forgive me, my knowledge isn't great, but I assume we're talking about rubies, emeralds, all the other stuff, sapphires.
Yeah.
On the scale, if you put them with the other ones, are diamonds right at the top? Are they the king of the gemstone?
They are the king of the gemstones because of their beautiful luster and the way they play light. But the most precious of gemstones, believe it or not, is the emerald, because emerald is the rarest.
Right.
To find a stunning emerald is very, very expensive for the consumer, for the customer.
And finally, how rare are diamonds? Are they a rare gemstone to find?
No, they're not as rare as perhaps we all think.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The route to the piece of jewellery is very much controlled by a company called De Beers.
Okay.
I'm sure your listeners will have heard of that. De Beers.
De Beers is a very, very famous diamond
house. Yeah.
House, yes.
Yeah. They control about 95% of the supply of diamonds to the world.
That sounds like a cartel to me.
Very close to, isn't it? Very close to. So in effect, they can allow diamonds onto the market.
Okay.
Jewelry market, of course. Or they can hold them back.
Therefore making them rare.
Correct.
But
correct,
in fact, correct. They're not rare.
Not as rare as we might think, no. And certainly, as I said, not as rare as the finest emeralds.
And now, talk to me a little bit about, because again, I wasn't aware of this, but I know that you have some knowledge in this, and we're going to be taking it up later on in the show. But there are man-made diamonds now.
That's correct. Yeah, absolutely. I've been involved in the jewellery industry for 46 years. I have pleasure now living in the lovely city of York. And recently, since we set up our business, we've been more and more aware of something called CVD diamonds.
And what does that stand for?
CVD stands for, and I want to make sure I get this right for you.
I'm not going to be able to correct you, so you can pretty much say anything you want there. But I appreciate that. For professionalism, you want to get this bit right, being a gemologist.
Yeah, I absolutely do. Chemical vapor deposition.
Okay, what?
Chemical vapor. That is the name of the true name of the process that forms diamonds in a laboratory.
So you can make a diamond in the lab?
We certainly can.
And does it look different to the other diamonds?
No, you cannot tell the difference. I think this is something that concerns De Beers. The process is literally reproducing what Mother Nature did a billion or so years ago by fusing carbon atoms in a gas. And this takes place under immense pressure, just as Mother Nature did it all those years ago. You know, involves feeding varying amounts of gases into a chamber and through high temperatures providing the conditions for carbon growth around a substrate. And that substrate is a little seed of diamond.
Oh, I see. So you're taking a tiny piece of diamond and sort of
growing it. Yeah.
How long does this process take?
Between weeks and months to grow one diamond.
Versus tens of thousands of years.
Billions of years to grow a natural diamond, yes. But of course, there are no environmental problems, or very little environmental problems, with growing diamonds in a laboratory.
What are the little environmental problems?
Yeah, well, there always is going to be, because we're using gases.
Aren't we? Okay.
Yeah, but there has to be, but nothing compared to natural diamond. And, of course, there are no humanitarian issues surrounding the supply of CVD, laboratory-grown diamonds.
And how popular are these diamonds now?
In America, and they are actually grown in America in laboratories, the process itself is kept quite secret, even though we do buy them. The guys out there won't tell us the actual process, and they're keeping it fairly close to their chest. But they are becoming more and more popular for those customers who do have strong feelings about the environment and, of course, humanitarian issues surrounding diamond. And the Vice President De Beers, of course, would...
I bet he's not a happy man.
Exactly.
He's not jumping with joy.
Yeah, but they're there. They're there to stay. I think some of the worries is that they'll be substituted for mined diamonds in pieces of jewellery, in major pieces of jewellery. But be assured, every single lab-grown diamond that we sell, certainly on Nightingale Line, is laser-engraved. And it says, lab-grown diamond in the USA.
I see.
And of course, that can't be removed.
Well, Steve, thank you so much. You've kicked us off brilliantly with our conversation about diamonds. We know that they're not as rare as we think.
Right.
We know that you can grow some in a lab and you can't tell the difference in between. And you brought into our conversation, I'm sure they will stick in for the next hour, the company that controls 95%. Controlling 95% of anything should be looked at with some... concern, but De Beers, who controlled the 95% of diamonds. Steve Nightingale from Nightingale Online, thank you so much for kicking us off.
You're more than welcome. Have a great show.
Thank you very much. So that's amazing, isn't it? 95% of De Beers, of diamonds are controlled by one company who own most of the mines. Now, we spare no expense on this show. So next up... online. I've got with me Jacques Breitenbach, which I hope I've got correct. Jacques is the group finance manager from Petra Diamonds, and they are one of the world's largest independent diamond mining groups and a supplier of rough diamonds to the market. Zach, all the way from South Africa, thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
Hello, Alexis. I'm very, very good, thank you, and thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. Now, look, I really don't know much about diamonds. The diamond ring I gave to my wife was my grandmother's, so I'd never kind of had to go out and do the research and buy. But looking into the diamond industry, I find that there's a lot of sort of myth that we're, as we heard from Steve, we all assume that diamonds are very, very rare. Now, you guys are a big diamond mining group. Are you finding an abundance of diamonds?
Alexis, by no means. I don't totally agree with Steve's summation there. Diamonds are indeed very rare, and I think they're actually even more rare than most people think. And I don't want to stalk up the story there, but there is only 30 significant diamond mines in the whole world, and they're definitely not easy to come by.
So they're not easy to come by, in your opinion. So you guys are not sort of just yanking them out of the ground in bucket loads?
No, definitely not. We do have, obviously, mines. We have four underground mines here in South Africa and an open cast mine in Tanzania. And these mines are known deposits, and some of the world's best known diamonds have been delivered from these mines. However, since the 1990s, there wasn't any new discoveries of substance anywhere in the world.
But we have circumstances where there's sort of new mines that there was one in Australia, wasn't it? With they weren't brilliantly white, but and there were new mines that have been discovered, and they quickly get absorbed into the whole De Beers family. Are you guys part of the whole De Beers family as well?
Not at all. We're totally independent. Although we do own some mines that was in the past owned by De Beers, we bought those mines from them and own and operate them totally independent from De Beers.
I see. And what are your feelings about the synthetic diamonds that we've heard about? Because we've all heard the stories about the difficulty in getting the diamonds out of the ground, the controversy sometimes that has been caused both environmentally and politically. What do you think of the synthetic diamond route? Do you think it is something that is to be encouraged, or do you think that people will still want to stick with the diamonds that came out of the ground?
I think there's place for both. Synthetic diamonds has been around them for a while. The volumes that they are produced at is very low. Less than 1% of the world's diamonds are currently from synthetic diamonds. The balance is all still natural mine diamonds. I just want to mention one thing, Alexis. There's a whole issue around the conflict of diamonds, and very rightly so. But it also has to be put in perspective. It has been there's obviously a lot of regulation in the industry itself, definitely less than 1% of all diamonds are produced in what is known as conflict areas, 99% of diamonds are very well controlled, very well we know exactly where they come from, and it's done in both a social and environmentally friendly manner.
Great. Well, look, Zach, thank you so much for joining me. That was Zach Breitenbach from the Group Finance Manager of Petra Diamonds. Thank you so much, and I appreciate the difference in opinions. Maybe diamonds are more scarce than we thought.